Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And the saints are alive with Christ. Our reading from the book of Revelation, St. John's vision that he received of the saints. I'll read a few verses again. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." One of the elders asks, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" His answer, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Thus far the text. Over the past 3 weeks, we've touched on Scripture alone, grace alone, and faith alone, those three great touchstones of the Reformation. Today, I want to begin with another alone, another sola. This one doesn't come from the Reformation, and it isn't about the Bible or about theology, so fair warning on that. Instead, this one comes from a sociologist named Robert Putnam. In one of his books, he describes a particular problem of our times as the fabric of society comes apart. The title of his book says it all, "Bowling Alone," with emphasis on the adverb, alone. Loneliness has become an epidemic. It's even worse today than it was 20 years ago, and it's been especially bad over the last 30 months. You know why. We're more alone than ever. I'm sure you've noticed it at some point, in a waiting room, at a restaurant, on a walking path, two people together, maybe even sitting at the same table, yet entirely alone. Alone with the blue light of a screen, of course. Now, Christians also suffer from loneliness. But I don't just mean here the general loneliness of our modern world. Oh, we suffer that as well. But Christians suffer a particular kind of loneliness, spiritual loneliness, isolation from others because of our faith, because we believe in Jesus and because we follow him. We find it hard to be alone, but it's sometimes even harder and even lonelier to be a Christian. What do I mean? I can think of a number of different examples. I think of our friend Bishop Johanna Pohjola of Finland. A year ago, about this time, he was here with us and he talked about being on trial for hate speech because he holds that marriage is between a man and a woman. Since then, he's been acquitted by one court, but the prosecution has appealed to a higher court. I think of Christians in Pakistan and Iran, who face hostility and persecution and live their faith in very difficult circumstances. I think of our missionaries, men, women, families, who uproot their lives to serve far from those they love for the sake of the gospel. They treasure Christian fellowship and the sacrament of Christ's body and blood on the rare occasions they have it. And I think of you. I think of our youth in junior high and in high school, of our grown children in college, of our public school teachers, and of you in your workplaces and your community. Can you openly be a Christian without being mocked? Do you have Christian friends? Who will support, who will encourage, who will challenge you to be faithful to Christ? And I think of you, you wives, often wives, who come to church alone with kids, but without your husbands, and of you who are single and widows and widowers and are new visitors. Do you feel it too? Do you feel alone as a Christian? I am here to tell you today on this All Saints Day that you are not alone. There's someone else who felt the same way. Many who have felt the same way, but one who comes to mind today. Saint John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Christ Jesus. Saint John, whose revelation we heard, who was on the island of Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And what that means is this: Patmos was probably the last place that John wanted to live and the loneliest place you could imagine. It was not the sort of island that you go to for vacation. It was a place you went for exile. Now, you might say, well, at least John didn't have to go through what the other apostles went through, being flayed alive, being crucified, being stoned, being beheaded, and so forth. By the time John is on the island of Patmos, Peter and Andrew, James, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, James the Less, Matthew, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Matthias had all been martyred for their faith. That's how alone John was. So he's in exile on the Lord's Day, and what could be more lonely and worse than being a Christian alone on Sunday? That's where St. John is when he shares with us the revelation given to him by Jesus. What does he see in that moment when he feels so alone, when he feels perhaps like the last Christian on earth? He tells us, "I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" Jesus pulls back the curtain for St. John, for lonely St. John, and for you. He lifts the veil, and John sees what he'd never seen before, but what he most assuredly would see again. He sees eternity. He sees the life of the endless world to come. He sees what was and what is and what forever will be. The saints, triumphant, clothed in bright array, clothed from their baptisms like Samson today, who came dressed in white because he is robed with the righteousness of Christ. St. John sees so many, many saints from so many, many places and so many, many times. Even, believe it or not, our own. The saints, not crucified, not slain, not curled up in fetal position, alone and afraid, but standing together and wholly alive. Just like the Lamb who'd been slain, but now stands, the first to rise from the dead. If loneliness is a foretaste of hell, and I think that it is, then communion is a foretaste of heaven. And John has it. He has it even when exiled to an island for his faith. He has it even when no other Christians are near. There on the Lord's Day, he worships in the communion of the saints. He worships in the fellowship of those who belong to Christ Jesus. Have you ever wondered why we pray the Lord's Prayer when we are alone with the words, "Our Father"? Not my Father, not me, but our Father, because we are praying in the company and fellowship of all of the saints, living and dead, near and far. A great cloud of witnesses surrounds John, surrounds us. And what is it that defines the saints? It's not what they did. Although the saints did many wonderful and glorious things, what defines the saints is what they wear and how they sing and who they worship. One of the elders asks John, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" John shrugs. "You know, this vision's been given to me. Why don't you tell me?" So the elder tells him, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Those words are so beautiful, and yet there is something so dark behind them. Something behind that white that is dark. There is the dark of tribulation, of great tribulation. There is the dark of loneliness. There is the dark of standing on earth by themselves, though not alone in Christ. There is the dark of their blood poured out. And behind their blood is the blood of Christ. You are not alone. But someone else was. Someone else was more alone than you or I or St. John will ever be. More alone because of who he was, even more than you are for being a Christian. And you can see the one who was alone. You can see him kneeling down and praying in a garden while his best friends sleep a stone's throw away. Some friends they were, as he sweats drops of blood. You can see him alone, with a cup standing in front of him, a bitter cup to swallow of God's wrath. You can see him alone when they come to the garden with swords and clubs, and everyone else scatters, but he is bound. Alone when he stands trial before a hostile priest and a mocking king and an indifferent governor. Alone as he is mocked, whipped, spat upon, crowned with thorns. Alone, hanging upon a cross innocent. Alone in giving his body and pouring out his blood. So alone that you know the words he cried from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" And then having breathed his last, he was laid alone in a grave. And if that's where it ended, we really would be alone, and John really would have been alone on the island of Patmos, and we would be, of all people, most to be pitied. But having suffered alone, having died alone, having paid for our sins alone, Jesus rose again on the third day. The Lamb who was slain is standing. And he appeared to the disciples in their loneliness. He restored them with his word. He declared to them his peace, and he sent them out in his name to forgive sins, to baptize, to make known to others the body and blood of Christ in holy communion. He gave them a promise: "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He sent them out into the great tribulation. He sent them out to suffer and often to feel alone, but he did not send them out alone because he had promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And that promise is yours as well. And to remind us that we are not alone, we have All Saints' Day. We have not only our Lord Jesus Christ on the throne, but we have the great cloud of witnesses gathered around us, many of whom we will name today in that prayer of thanksgiving. Saints who have gone before. Saints to whom we can look with hope and with great joy, because we belong with them. Dear Saint, you are not alone. And in Christ, you never, ever will be. I want to read for you now a section from a Lutheran pastor named Wilhelm Leah, who wrote a little bit about the communion of the saints and what joy it gives to him. He said this: "To me, it is such a joyous thought that I am not alone, that I do not travel by myself, but that I am accompanied on my pilgrimage through the valley of the shadow by a communion of believers. Right in the midst of this life's barren wilderness, this thought can dissolve all sorrow in forgetfulness. Yet this communion of saints is no mere thought, but an unshakable certainty. I know from the mouth of God that I am not alone. I rejoice over this from the bottom of my heart. Unfortunately, though, my joy is not unmixed with sorrow, for death takes away many whom I love. Like candles, one after another in the bright circle of my friends goes out. Think of John, Peter, Andrew, James, Matthew, gone. The empty places turn dark, and seldom does another star fill the void. This brings pain and longing. But I do not forget that these brethren of whom I speak are just hidden from my sight and have been placed in higher positions in the kingdom of God. Those who live in the Lord, and those who, while out of the body, abide in him. Those who are still pilgrims, and those who are already home. Those who walk by faith, and those who walk by sight. These are not two separated flocks, but one before God in Christ Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we walk by faith. We are still pilgrims. We live in the Lord here, but we are not alone, for we are surrounded by this great communion of saints. We have one mediator, one high priest, Christ Jesus our Lord, but there are many of us who have our eyes fixed on him, many of us who are sheltered by his presence, many of us who belong to his flock, whom he brings to the quiet waters, many of us whose tears he has already begun to wipe away. So let us follow the saints, follow them in faith, follow them in good works, follow them as examples of those who have received God's grace before us. And let us press forward with our eyes fixed on Christ. Let us wear our white robes of Christ's righteousness. Let us raise our palm branches high, and let us raise our voices with all the saints. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. For with them, in Christ, we are never alone. In Jesus' name.